We're going to pray for you guys, okay? We announced a week ago that there's a bit of revamping happening for the kids. We're trying to take it from just a Sunday school to a children's church concept. And we just want to pray for them as they go out for their time of fellowship and worship. So, Lord God, we just, as it was prayed already, I think it was Sylvia that prayed that we're not to put roadblocks, stumbling blocks in the way of the children. Forbid not the little children to come unto you. So, Lord, we just consecrate all the children.
Yes.
And, Lord, we, with hungry hearts, we desire to see more children come into relationship and fellowship with you. And we just bless and we ask for special favor and blessing upon each and every one of the parents and grandparents, that they would be just models of holiness and tenderness through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Okay, now you can flee out. Jesus, praise the Lord. Once again, Eleanor just managed to get everything in the bulletin. I don't know how she does it, but I appreciate it. This morning we're going to look at three more ministries, not gifts, but ministries of the Holy Spirit to every believer. Bob, if you and Slater were among two of the founders of this assembly. And if I remember Slater saying, one of the things that impressed him was the reality of the work and the ministry and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I think the same was true for you. And without that foundation of individuals that came and really felt that this was to be of God, where would we be today? We wouldn't be here. And we just want to remind ourselves of the reality, as Richard prayed, of the Holy Spirit. In many cases, the Holy Spirit as a person is somewhat, in my opinion, neglected in congregational life. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching." You do not need to hear my opinions or my impressions of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What we need to hear is, what does the Bible say? If there is a point in my life where I'm resistant to something of the Holy Spirit, that needs to be brought into alignment to the Word of God. So we're giving a lot of Scripture. Last week, we made some primary statements as we entered into this. We believe in one God who existed from eternity past in three persons, of the same essence and co-equal, yet unique in their personages. And I gave you just two references that clearly show a three-personage work of the one true God. I stated last week, there's no illustration of the triune God that is a perfect illustration. How can we perfectly illustrate an infinite, unfathomable God? But this did not... But I give an example of what helped my thinking when I was struggling in Bible college, trying to figure out the triune God. And I shared how I'd been in a time of prayer. We were renting Lynn's mom and dad's place. They were in Africa. And Lynn was at work. And I was kneeling with my elbows on the couch. And I was praying, seeking some answer from God, some insight. And I fell asleep. And I went to get up, and my legs were still asleep. Remember how many have had that pins and needles feeling, you know? And I had to roll myself onto the floor. My upper body was on the couch, and wait until circulation. And I went in the kitchen to get a glass of water, and I turned the tap on. As soon as I did that, it was like a light went on. H2O is always H2O. But we see it as snow and ice. We see it as water vapor or steam. And we see it as water. But in each of those elementary presentations to our senses, it remains H2O. So God is God, G-O-D. But we perceive him and we experience him as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. Amen? But always, each of the three personages of the triune God are equally God. And because of that, there's some overlapping of what they do. And that is to be expected. I had one person explain to me somewhat as saying, they said, you know, John, I'm a son, and I'm a husband, and I'm a father. You know, if that helps you, you know, that made less sense to me than H2O. So last week we began a series of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry, not the giftings. We considered three actions or ministries performed by the Holy Spirit. You are birthed by the Holy Spirit. There is not a single believer in Christ who is not being birthed by the Holy Spirit. That is the only way you become a Christian, is you are birthed by the Holy Spirit. Except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom. And Nicodemus struggled with that in John 3. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I remember the old years. In a couple of branches, David, when we were doing audits, I actually found brass seals and what looked like a really hard, weird red candle, which in fact was wax. And they used to heat it, and they would drip it onto a sealed document where it was to be opened, and you could tell if it had been opened because that seal would be broken. So the wax would drip onto that, and they'd take that brass thing and they'd stamp it into the seal. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. God will not break his promises. You're sealed. You will have failures. You will have shortcomings. You will have doubts. But that does not alter the reality that you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And when that gets deep and resonated into your spirit, listen, Lucifer can't break that seal. You can't break that seal because you didn't make the seal. You know? You didn't find God. God found you. And he makes a covenant. It's like with Abraham, when God made the covenant with Abraham and he laid the pieces out and he made the covenant with Abraham, he knew Abraham couldn't keep it, so he knocks him out. And he goes between the pieces like a burning furnace and he makes a covenant, irrevocable. And it's a done deal. You've entered into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not initiated by you and not kept by you. John 17. Father, I ask that you would keep those who you have given to me. Thine they were, and you've given them to me. I think it's five or six times in John 17. He says, those who come to him belong to the Father, and the Father gave them to the Son. Your gift from the Father to the Son, and you're sealed with and by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And what a comfort that is, because there are days. And you're comforted by the Holy Spirit. In John 14, he says, I'll give you, the newer translations say, a helper. The old King James says comforter. When you look at the word helper, it includes the concept of a comforter. Lynn had to spend Friday night in Regina because of the road conditions. And what I do Wednesdays and Saturdays is I do towels and that. And if Lynn's not around, I strip the bed and I do the sheets. And one of the awkward things to move from I don't know how Lynn does it. She keeps all the stuff on the bed. I can't do that. I carry the pillows out to the front room. I carry the blanket, which is a comforter. Most of us know a comforter is something that keeps us warm during the night. And it's a comfort. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. Amen? And today we're going to consider three more ministries of the Holy Spirit. And to our launching point will be, once again, John 14. We're going to conclude with the same portion of scriptures last week. And it's not because I got lazy and didn't come up with a new one, but because I feel it's important and repetition is the mother of skill. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. John 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 31. Again, this follows immediately the last three verses of the 13th chapter of John where Peter wants to know what's going to happen, and he says, I won't deny you. And Jesus says, no, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And then right after that is 14 and 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. They didn't know where he was going to go. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, for from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And we discussed that a little bit last week. I'm not going to repeat that. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper or comforter to be with you forever. Okay? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him and says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's right now. I don't perceive it all the time. Every once in a while, we get smiling grins taking place, just as ratification that this is real, this is true. But that's not my continuous state. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Well, that's one of the three that we're going to be looking at this morning, peace. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. And Jill, when I read that right now and I get that word, my stove's coming today. Bringing the thing. Your mom got an impression from the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, that dear soul in need got an impression. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. When she got it, I think her faith elevated enormously. That she just didn't get some weird thought or impression in her soul, but she had really heard God. And how we all need that experience of having occasions we can refer back to where we know that we heard God. Not just in our heart, but in reality, something was manifested that confirmed, yeah, you heard God. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Father God, we just ask that your word, which is given to us by inspiration through the Holy Spirit, that as we look at it and consider it in our devotion time today, that living word given by the Holy Spirit would be illuminated in our hearts and minds through the Holy Spirit. That this is not some intellectual game that we're playing. It's not some riddle we're trying to figure out. It is the inspired word of God, Father, and you send the author into our life to illuminate it and to make it manifestly real in our life. So we just open ourselves to you and to the work of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. John 14, 16 to 17, major point number one, the Holy Spirit teaches us truth. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, the King James Version says comforter, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and will be, dwells with you and will be in you. Now, just ahead of these, just a few verses ahead of those, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I stated a little earlier that God is one in essence, but he manifests himself as three persons. And because God is always God, there tends to be an overlapping. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. And here, he says, I will send you the Spirit of truth. Because God is true. It's part of his essence. He's righteous. He's holy. He's true. God is not a man that he should lie. So there's an overlapping there. And it's understandable. It makes sense. John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Okay, not only is he the truth, but he's to teach you. Now, I remember it was first year of Bible college, and Jordy's not leaving angry. He's going to go get food for you. Jesus said, peace be with you. And Jordy's saying, pizza I'll bring. Sorry, that was lame. Thank you. Yeah. In first year in Bible college, one of the students, and we were reading this portion, said, well, why am I here in Bible college? Why am I sitting with you as the teacher when the Holy Spirit will teach me? And I kind of sat there for a moment and I thought, you got to be kidding me. You know, there is value in having people around us who've been walking on the way, not in the way. I've met Christians who are in the way. And you want to say, get out of line. We need to be on the way. Truth has got to go from intellectual understanding to being character, that it is infused in our being. And Jesus gives 5 ministry roles to his bride, the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Right? Now, I can share things with you from my understanding and my perspective, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to infuse it into your being. And where you have questions, you say, I'm not sure, you know, if that lines up with, you know. As you look to God, God will bring it as a reality in your life through the Holy Spirit. He will teach. Okay. We need to understand that concept. John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. I've had people say to me, you know, well, the Spirit told me such and such, and I could find it nowhere. And what they were saying was contradicting what was here. There is more than one spirit out there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. I saw a thing just recently. Wayne, in Australia, they're using fluorescent paint on the highways. So when you're driving at night, you can see where the shoulders are. I think that's a cool idea. You know, the Bible is our Holy Spirit light that marks the way. And when I get off of that, I'm in trouble. That's why I try not to give you my opinions or my understandings or my thoughts about something. I give you a lot of scripture because I want you to see what the scripture says. And there's been times in my life I've looked at portions of scripture and I had to adjust what I was thinking. Hello? Anybody else? Okay. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. The greatest work of the Holy Spirit in your life, the greatest truth to come to you in your life, is the reality of who Jesus Christ is. The Holy Spirit, in truth, will bear witness to the Son. Amen? Anything that diminishes that, I question very strongly. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. There are some areas in Christendom that question whether spirits and demons are real. And I declare to you, they're real. Because the Bible says they're real. The year that Lynn and I got married, and I was asked to do an internship with the senior pastor of the church, and shortly into that, they discovered they didn't have a caretaker for our church camp, Crescent Beach at White Rock. Lynn was working 12-hour shifts, and I got sent out to the camp. This was just after our honeymoon. I felt like going to the senior pastor and said, do you know the Old Testament says that when a man gets married, he's exempt from war for a year? But I thought I'd better not do that. So I was out there by myself this one night, and I had this wide-margin Schofield Bible with me, and the camp was over 10 acres, wooded, and it was night, and as only the Lord can witness to, I had faces appearing in the windows. And I'm outside, and there was nobody there. I went back in, and and I was getting unnerved. And I phoned Greta Shepherd, the pastor's wife. I had tried to get hold of Art, but he wasn't in, and Pastor Art, but Greta answered. And she says, John, you're having an experience of seeing evil spirits. And we prayed, and after we the faces were gone. I know that was real. And I went to bed. But Richard, I took that wide margin, 50-pound Schofield Bible. I took it into bed with me, and I laid it on my chest. And I slept the night away. I woke up in the morning in the same position, and the Schofield was still on my chest. I wasn't taking any chances. Because, folks, the spirit realm is real. And there are things that are filtering in to the North American church, trying to embrace various cultures and various ideas, and their, forgive me for this, their spirituality. But beloved, if their focus is not the Lord Jesus Christ, if it's not declaring the Holy Spirit as truth, if they're looking for a spirit realm to come in and give them direction and wisdom apart from the Word of God, it's 2 Corinthians, Josh, I think it's 10, first 4 or 5 verses of 2 Corinthians 10. It says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, casting down images. And the idea of the word image there is the idea of idols. And behind every idol, you come from spirit background. We're not all of us Holy Spirit, right? And behind idols are spirits. And they're real. And we have to take every thought captive. Was I even close? You were looking it up, were you? Yeah. Do you want to read that?
For the weapons of our warfare?
Yeah. That's Ephesians, right?
That's 2 Corinthians.
Okay, go ahead.
Though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete.
Now, one of the words in the King James is the word image. And I think it's opinions and what else?
Destroy arguments and every lofty opinion.
Every lofty opinion. The idea there's, behind those lofty opinions, it's not just a human reasoning, it's a spirit. Lucifer spoke to Eve. Lucifer put it in the heart of Judas to betray Christ. The spirit realm is real. Don't be a Sadducee. Sadducees didn't believe in the spirit realm. That's why they were sad, you see. No, it's not just a pun. It's a way of remembering. What was the difference between Pharisees and Sadducees? Pharisees believed in the spirit realm. They believed in angels and demons. The Sadducees didn't. And so they're getting all kinds of ideas and opinions that are not from God. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God. How? By the Holy Spirit. Okay? And is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay? The Bible before you has been given by God through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:2, we have renounced disgraceful and underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. I give lots of scripture because my greatest fear is that I tamper with it. Because the scripture teaches not many of you to seek to be teachers, knowing that you will receive the greater judgment. We've got to be careful what we teach. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. I need the Holy Spirit. Now, somewhere, it'd be the next two. There's no insert here. Okay, the Holy Spirit gives guidance, John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The great Greek word that we translate as guide is only used five times in the New Testament. Matthew 5:14 and Luke 6:39. In both those cases, Jesus says, blind leaders of the blind. And they all end up in the ditch. Okay? 16:13, which we're looking at here. Acts 8:31. Philip asks the eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? He says, How can I understand unless somebody guide me? And he opens up the scripture to the eunuch and he accepts Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And he says, here be water. What prevents me from being baptized? Okay? He came to a living relationship in Christ because there was a guide. Revelation 7:17. I just want to read that one. 7:17. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Those are the five references to that word guide. Philip guides the eunuch. Christ leads those in glory to springs of living water, and the Holy Spirit is given to you to guide you into truth. Acts 40:36-38. When I was looking at this is what came to my mind. So you can take it for whatever it's worth. Throughout all their journeys, speaking of Israel, wherever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, and in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And you and I, we don't have a literal burning pillar or a cloud, but you have the Holy Spirit. He's real. He's literal. And as much as Israel was led by the pillar of fire and the cloud, when it stayed, they stayed. When it moved, they moved. I remember somewhere in one of Oswald Chambers' devotions, he says, when you're being pressed, never make a decision rashly. Wait upon the Lord. And if you're not hearing anything, wait. I have seen more in my experience as a pastor, people not getting a sense of what God was saying, so they make the best decision they think they know how to make, and it usually, almost 90% of the time, blows up in their face. We need to be people that wait upon the Lord. We dealt with that just a few weeks ago. If it didn't move, Israel didn't move. Wherever they were, God provided. They had the manna. They had the water from the rock. And he was moving them to a promised land. And listen, the land of Canaan, going across the Jordan, that's not a picture of heaven. It isn't? No. When they crossed the Jordan, was there an enemy to defeat? Hello? Yeah. Heaven, there's no enemies to defeat. Amen? The promised land, when you go to Hebrews 4, is coming into a faith relationship with God, and you enter in, and it's called a rest. He says, they didn't enter into my rest because of rebellion and disobedience. The promised land, Israel, a prince ruled by God, was where you are partnered with God, and there are adversaries, but we're more than overcomers. Right? That's not in the notes. That just kind of sprung into my head. Acts 16, 6 to 10. And they went through the region of Phlegra and Galatia, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, I don't know about you, but that causes my mind to just wonder. And they when they had come to Mesa, they attempted to go into Bithynia, and I'm probably murdering the pronunciation, but you'll forgive me. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. There are some times that God shuts the door on things. So passing by Mesa, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man in Macedonia standing there urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, now Asia isn't the far land of China. Asia was going into, it was that whole region moving towards India. They regarded that as Asia. Many maps in the Bible refer to it as Asia Minor. And part of that is Turkey, which is now Muslim. Okay? Well, what's going on? Macedonia is in Greece. Do you understand that many historians believe if Paul hadn't responded to that call, we wouldn't have what we regard as Western civilization as we understand it today? He would have gone a different direction. God has a purpose. I may not agree. I may not understand. But when he said to Job, when you were there, were you there when I put the planets in place and when I put Earth in place? Did I counsel you? He doesn't need my opinion. He doesn't need my permission. Hello. What I need to do is figure out why he's doing things and why he says it's that way. Okay? Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. God wants to direct each one of us. He wants to guide us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Are you being led by the Holy Spirit? He's in you and with you. He wants to guide you. Acts 13, 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them." God wants to speak to us. He wants to direct us. And he does that through the Holy Spirit. And we need to turn to him. And our concluding ministry that he does for this morning is the Holy Spirit gives peace. John 16, 7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. You may have a better answer for this than I do. My understanding is as long as Christ was here in the flesh, on planet Earth, he was the full repository of the Holy Spirit. But when he was caught up to glory, he was able, with the permission of the Father, to give out the Holy Spirit to you and I. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, with God. John 16:33. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In Christ Jesus you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or trouble. Not the great tribulation of Revelation. But you'll have trouble here because there's an enemy here. And there's a world that doesn't know and understand, and they'll persecute you. But in me you'll have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I'm waiting for that day. Philippians 4, 5 to 7. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Do you ever get frustrated with some of the family of God that are unreasonable? There's a reason that God says, let your reasonableness be known to all men. Because sometimes we're not reasonable. And I'm sorry, Cinderella, if the shoe fits, wear it. Fix it. Okay? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Boy, that I blow that so badly. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Now notice in Romans 1, you have peace with God through the cross of Jesus Christ. But through prayer and supplication and calling upon God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you can have the peace of God. And how we need that in this world of ours, which surpasses all understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the concept there in the Greek language is literally to garrison you. He'll station about you a host that will protect your thinking, casting down imaginations and bringing every thought in obedience to Christ. Psalm 91, 1 to 4. This one's easy to remember. When you're in trouble, what do? You call 911. Okay. Psalm 91, verses 1 to 4. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. Years ago, when we were pastoring in Weyburn, old Grandma Wicks really liked to do artwork, and she did a couple for me. She did one of an eagle soaring, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. And she did one, it was a valley scene with the mountains and the river going through and a cabin. And that was her idea of peace. That's not really the scripture's idea of peace. In this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have issues. There's going to be things that are going to happen. But if you abide in Christ, 9-1-1, you abide underneath his wings. And this is a picture of a storm. And the adult bird, I don't know whether it's male or female, I'm not in or ornithology, but the wings are spread out like an umbrella, shielding the chicks. I remember years and years ago, it was probably 84. That's when we left Lindsay and we went to Weyburn, Saskatchewan. And I went to the conference, which was held in Calgary. And Dr. James McConnell from Ireland was the guest speaker. And he was an interesting guy. I wish I could imitate his accent. He says, If you want to increase your offerings in your church, you need to get what I did. He says, I got an IRA guy who got filled with the Holy Spirit and came to Christ, and people knew him. He used to be a kneecapper. He was an enforcer for the IRA. If you didn't do as he said, they would drill a hole through your kneecap. He says, so I made him one of our ushers, and he took the offering, and the offerings went up. I don't know if you bring a drill next week if it'll help or not. Yeah. But he says he had this lady that accepted Christ. And he was praying for her. And he was talking about how the Holy Spirit, God wants to cover you underneath his wings. Well, a couple of days later, she's walking home, and this is in Belfast, and it wasn't a safe area, and some thugs were approaching her. And she started to pray, but she was a new Christian. She didn't know what to pray. So she said, "God, God, feathers, feathers, feathers." Oh, she had the wing part, right? I saw. And she says, she's talking to Dr. McConnell on the Sunday. She says, a couple of days after, one of the guys came up to her and said, "The other night, who were those huge guys that were with you?" There's nobody with her. But there is a manifestation of the heavenly presence of angels. And they were, you know, it's like I said to your son, "Don't worry. If you forgot, it's okay. God knows." You know, he goes to pray. He says, "Dear Lord, I forgot." Okay. But God knows. He knows our intent. He knows our thoughts while they're far off. He doesn't respond to my words as much as to my heart. Hello? And she was calling on God for peace. And she got it. To the horror of some thugs on the street. Galatians 5:22-25, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Right? It's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want to take just a couple of minutes this morning before Josh and comes up and Shell and leads us in a close in Luke 11. It says, "If you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more your heavenly Father, that he will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask." The greatest need in our life, I am absolutely persuaded, because there is so much stuff happening. There's so many things happening with our families, with our friends. There's all kinds of issues that we're aware of where people really need the guidance, the strength, and the peace of the Holy Spirit. We need the truth. He comes to give us truth and to guide us and to give us peace. So I'm just going to ask for the next 2-3 minutes, if you would just sit quietly and invite the Holy Spirit. The theme of the week of prayer for Christian unity this year was, "Do you believe this?" I've given you a scripture this morning. I've given you some personal illustrations. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest himself to you, that he wants to speak truth to you, that he wants to guide you, you personally, and us collectively? I don't know what would be happening in Wolseley today if you and Slater and a number of others hadn't taken a stand and said, we want to commit to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his purposes. And you brought this place into being through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through the flesh. Where would we be? So let's just take a couple moments in quiet and invite the Holy Spirit. Say, "Lord, I've had doubts, but I believe your word. Holy Spirit, I need you. I thank you that you promised, Jesus, that if you go away, you would send the Holy Spirit. How we need you. There's so many things we don't understand. There's so many things we're going to face. Holy Spirit, infuse us. Bring peace where there's a storm. Bring truth where there's deception. Guide us where there's confusion. Thank you that we're born of you and sealed by you. Jesus, comfort us. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy fullness. Come in your own. Jesus. How we need you. God. Hallelujah. Jesus. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Josh and Shelley, you want to come up and lead us, please? I heard your name, but I don't know. Oh. Jesus. I get you to stand. I hope you're able to stay for the annual general meeting. And I don't know if the pizza's here yet. If not, I'm sure it's going to be right behind.
On the bridge, the men and the women are going to be singing two different parts. So just stick to the part that's labeled men and women, respectively, and it'll join into a harmony of praise together.